Well, good morning, church. It is coming closer and closer to one of my personal favorite holidays of the year, Valentine's Day. Anybody excited for Valentine's Day? Two people? That's great. That's great. I, of course, a big part of the reason why I love Valentine's Day is, of course, my last name and then the royalty checks that Hallmark sends us. But the reality is Valentine's Day is interesting because a lot of times you get pushback from people. You get pushback from people that are in relationships, especially dudes, who say things like, you know, I don't want to have this holiday that tells me when to be romantic. I don't need a holiday to tell me when I should love my spouse or my significant other. I don't need those things. And I'm like, man, it's a holiday where they literally have romantic items everywhere. They've got chocolates. They've got flowers. It's in every single aisle of every single store. It is so incredibly easy to be romantic on Valentine's Day. That's what's called a layup. You take those. If you want to pull up from half court, do that in March. But listen, Valentine's Day is easy. You take the layup, right? But I think the deeper issue with Valentine's Day is this. I have found in talking to people that there's some pushback with days like that because I think there's a truth that we all kind of know deep down. And it's that real love, true love, is more than just a day. Reality is you can have an amazing romantic time on Valentine's Day or any other day. You can buy the flowers, buy the expensive gifts, buy the nice things, have a nice evening, and then still go back into a broken and unloving relationship. Broken and unloving marriage. Reality is one day doesn't fix anything because love is more than just a day, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul gives us this amazing definition that's used to define love. In more places than just the church, people use this in a lot of different areas of life, and it goes like this. You may be familiar. Paul writes, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But love is this thing that he says is forever. When we think about that definition of love, it really changes everything. This is a great passage that is often read at weddings, but forgotten in marriages. And I think the reason for that is that, once again, love is more than a day. It's more than a feeling. It's more than a romantic moment. It's more than a Hollywood kiss scene. It's more than meeting a guy in a small town who loves Christmas as much as you. That's a very specific audience there, but you know who you are. The reason for that is this. I've heard it said that the difference between love and marriage is that love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. You know, or I've also heard it this way, you know, people don't change in marriage, you just remove the witnesses. It's really hard when you get into this thing called marriage or any relationship with someone, whether it's a friendship, any type of relationship, because relationships are hard, marriage is hard, living out the definition of love that we just read is really hard, especially in marriage, but that goes for your friendships. That goes for your coworkers. That goes for parents to your children, children to your parents. The reality is that being in relationship with someone is naturally going to be messy. Being in relationship with someone is naturally going to be challenging. So then when we talk about having actual true love for someone, it gets kind of difficult. It gets kind of challenging. And that's why in this series, we're calling it true love, because we're talking about loving relationships in all areas of life, but we're really going to be zooming in on the relationship of marriage. But what we're going to be talking about will apply to majority of what we talk about in this series will apply to every relationship in your life. So before we begin, I want to invite you just to bow your heads with me. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs because of the blood of your Son, Jesus. Your love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. God, thank you that you modeled love for us by your Son, Jesus. And as we talk about how to have this kind of love in our relationships, especially in marriages, God, would you work as only you can work? I thank you, God, that I'm not just joining a conversation that's just starting today, but I'm expectant that there's people that you've been talking to all week. You've been drawing closer and closer to you. And so, God, I just seek to join in the conversation as you lead today. Thank you for your Spirit working in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. So a lot of you guys probably know that last summer, my wife and I finally bought a house here in Del Rapids. We love getting to live here in Del Rapids. And because of that, in the time leading up to that, we spent a lot of time house shopping, which is fun for the first three houses. After that, you're just like, I just want to be in a house, right? I don't care. But something that we did whenever we were house shopping for this house and for our first home when we first got married is we brought along our secret weapon whenever we possibly could. That secret weapon is my father-in-law, a guy who can fix just about anything, who sees things that my wife and I definitely do not see. You know, we walk into a house and we start thinking about, man, you know, a TV would go great on that wall. Boy, a couch over here would really be great. What if we moved this over here? What if we painted that wall? And my father-in-law looks at boring stuff. He gets out his flashlight and his tape measure. He gets out his electrical outlet tester and goes to all the outlets. I mean, the guy looks at stuff that I wouldn't normally look at. And one of the things he looks at the most is the foundation of the house. He goes in the basement and looks at the walls and sees if they're bowing in, and he looks at different areas to see how the foundation is doing. In fact, there was a house in Sioux Falls many years ago that we looked at that I loved because the garage was awesome. The garage was like the size of this room. It was huge. I was like, this is amazing. But the foundation didn't look so good. We didn't buy the house. Friend of a friend of a friend ended up buying the house, and we found out all of the issues that came along with that house because the foundation had issues. See, something I found in life, whether it's houses or my own life, foundations don't really matter to a lot of people until they crack, and then they're the only thing that matters. Foundations are boring until they start to bow and give way. And suddenly they're the most interesting thing in the world. See, I think for a lot of people, especially when we talk about marriage, if you ask them the question, when does marriage start? For a lot of people, they would tell you marriage starts at the day of the wedding, right? But the reality is, a marriage is the joining together, becoming one of two people. I found that marriage doesn't begin the day of the wedding. It actually begins with everything you're bringing to the wedding. It brings with everything you've been doing before the wedding. I've often said to couples, I love marriages. I like weddings. I used to say I hate weddings, but I finally turned a corner there. I now say I like weddings. Weddings are a lot of fun. But the biggest thing, the most important thing, is the marriage, because it's an investment well beyond and before the wedding. The fact is, who you are, what you believe, what you practice, what your foundation is, will define success in your marriage. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with these words, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Later in John 15, before Jesus goes to the cross, Jesus takes his disciples on kind of a field trip through a vineyard on his way to the Mount of Olives. And while he's there, he shows them branches on the ground that are disconnected from the vine. And he gives us an example that he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Two examples that show what it really looks like to follow Jesus. A vine and a foundation. The vine is this thing that gives nutrients to the branches. Without being connected, it is worthless. It's firewood. Without a strong foundation, a house, even as beautiful as it is, with the best craftsmanship, will eventually sink, will eventually fall when tough times come. And in the same way, your foundation and what you're connected to matters in every single area of your life. Especially in your marriage, but also in every single area and every single thing that you seek to do. Whether it's building relationships, loving your spouse, working through marital conflict, forgiving well, serving sacrificially, loving people unconditionally, whatever it is, your foundation matters. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The thing of the Christian life is not more doing, it's more remaining in the vine. It's more building our house upon the solid rock. And as we do that, it changes us. As we follow Jesus, Jesus begins to change our hearts. The Holy Spirit begins to work, and all of a sudden, we start to have this love coming out of us that looks a lot more like 1 Corinthians 13. We start to have this unconditional love coming out of us. And like any passage that we use a lot as an example, whether it's the fruits of the Spirit, whether it's the Beatitudes, whether it's 1 Corinthians 13, these things are not a checklist for us. These things are not a shopping list. Okay, I got to check, check, check. No, it's a mirror to show you whether or not you're looking like Jesus or not. Because the reality is, as you're following Jesus, you're going to look more and more like him. It's a mirror that you hold up to your life, and the Holy Spirit will begin convicting you and going, here's some areas where you're not looking like me. Here's some areas where you need to grow in. And that all begins with having Jesus as our foundation. Having Jesus as the thing that we're connected to. That is the Christian life. With Christ as my foundation. And the thing is, when Christ is my foundation, it will change everything in my life, especially my marriage. Because it'll change me. And that changes my marriage. See, when Christ is my foundation, some things are going to change in me. The first is this: my identity is going to change. And because of that, my identity is going to be rooted in Christ, and my identity becomes unchangeable. The reality is, your identity is your beliefs about yourself, about your purpose in life. It's often been said that belief impacts your behavior. And if you have bad beliefs about your self-worth, about what your purpose in life is, it's going to negatively impact every single area of your life. If you try to build a relationship, if you try to build intimacy and connection, before you've done the work in yourself or allowed God to do the work in yourself to get healthy and whole in your own life, what is going to happen is that you're going to look for healing and completion in other people. If you haven't allowed God to make you whole and healthy in your life, then you are going to look for completion. You are going to look for healing in someone else. You are going to look for someone to complete you, and it's going to fall flat on your face. For me, I often viewed relationships this way, as something that would complete me, especially romantic ones, but also friendships as well. I felt this wholeness when I was in a relationship. I felt this completion when I was in a relationship. My search for significance was in romantic relationships. And what's interesting, I found that some of the darkest times in my life came then when this thing that I was seeking to complete me ended. When the thing that I was seeking to fill me up and make me whole didn't make me whole, because the reality was I was trying to fill a hole in my life that God wanted to fill with the presence of His Holy Spirit. I was trying to fix myself with all these other things when God wanted to make me a new person in Christ Jesus. I've heard it said that if you live for people's acceptance, you'll die by their rejection. And why? Because nobody was designed to complete you except God. Colossians chapter 2 says, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Other translations say completion. He's the head over every power and authority. Colossians 3:10 says that we put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We're being made to look like our creator. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. I found in life that people have three main desires for love in their life. They have a desire to be loved with no strings attached. To be loved even when they blow it or even when they don't deserve it. And the desire to know that we matter. God wants to, can, and will fulfill all those in our life. The problem becomes if I try to fill that void with anything other than God. They can't do it. A spouse can't do it, a friend can't do it, but God can. And what happens then, if I try to use other people to fill that void, what ends up happening is I find myself disappointed. I find myself forcing someone to try to be something that they're not, that they can't do in my life. And what I find often happens is when someone tries to find their significance in a significant other, especially in a marriage, what ends up happening is they look for completion in that spouse. They look for wholeness from that spouse rather than from God. And they're asking their spouse to do something that their spouse can't do. And what you often see is so many people become one of two things. They become either people pleasers. They try to do anything they can to get people pleased with them because that's what makes them feel whole. Or they become people manipulators. Trying to force people to do the things that make them feel whole. And that either one of those things is a bad relationship for a marriage. It's a bad recipe. It's a recipe for disaster. In any relationship. So when Christ is my foundation, when I am truly connected to the vine, in my marriage, when I'm seeking Christ first and building my life upon Him, and then in that entering into a relationship with my spouse, I first of all find that my identity is unchanging. Secondly, I find that I can't be let down. Or maybe to put it a little bit better way, I can't be let down as easily. I can be disappointed, sure, but I can't be let down in the same way. See, people will often say things about their spouse, about other people. They'll say, man, he's my world. She is my rock. They're my everything. They kind of remind me, a great way to describe them is they're kind of like A-frame couples. You ever seen an A-frame house? You get two little sides right here. Well, what happens when you take one side out? It falls with a great crash. When we try to lean on someone and make them our everything, what ends up happening when they fail us? What happens if they just pass away? If someone is my everything, then everything is lost when they are. Thing is, I can be disappointed. I can be hurt. But as a follower of Jesus, if Jesus is the foundation of my life, you can't really let me down if I'm really healthy spiritually. You can't let me down because you were never holding me up. If I'm actually following Jesus, if I'm really putting Jesus in everything and putting everything in my foundation of Jesus Christ, my wife can't really let me down. And then when she does, it's a sign to me that I might be putting more into her than I am into God. And that's an issue. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. The more that I understand Christ's sacrifice for me, the more that I grow and build my life on this foundation of Jesus Christ, I find myself able to forgive better, to be more kind and compassionate. What I find is that it's a lot less easy for me to be offended. In fact, if I'm really following Jesus, if we're following Jesus, we should be some of the least offendable people in the world. Because what can you say to me when God is my foundation? That then translates into my marriage in that when God is my foundation, it's really hard for my spouse to offend me. I find that the more I'm offended in my marriage, once again, there's an issue with my foundation. There's an issue with what I'm connecting to this week. I'm getting my nutrients from another vine. I'm not connected to the vine as much as I should be this week. Find that it's harder to be let down when Christ is your foundation. Your identity isn't put into someone else. Your identity is put on the solid rock. And finally, you find that it's easier to serve when Christ is your foundation. I can serve differently as a follower of Jesus. I can serve differently when I'm connected to the vine. I can serve sacrificially. The reality is there's a lot of people when they talk about marriage, when they talk about brokenness in their marriage, there's a word that gets brought up quite a bit. It's the word needs. Their needs aren't being met. They need to go somewhere else because they want to meet each other's needs. Or they want someone who meets their needs better. And the reality is meeting needs is a significant part of marriage. If you're in a healthy relationship, you will meet each other's needs. You will seek to meet each other's needs. But what often ends up happening, if I'm looking at my spouse as my source, my foundation, we end up creating a transactional relationship. You know, like I'll do this thing for you. I'll meet this need for you, and then you meet this need for me. And when you stop meeting this need for me, I'm going to stop meeting this need for you because it becomes a transaction. You do good things for me, and I do good things for you, and so on and so forth. I'll be nice if you are. I'll serve if you are. I like you if you like me. Philippians 2. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. One of the things I love about Jesus is he didn't wait until I showed love to him to love me. He didn't wait for me to clean my life up before he came to clean up mine. That's the heart of Jesus. And in marriage, sometimes we can get to this place where, man, I need them to do this before I'll do this. I need them to show this to me before I'll do this for them. But really, when I really get Jesus, when Jesus is my foundation, I'm able to show respect to my spouse, even if I'm not feeling particularly respected that day. I'm able to show love to my spouse if I'm not feeling like my love tank is super full that day. I'm able to serve even when I feel, if I have the impression that I haven't been served a lot that day. Because when I have Jesus as my source and he is my foundation, suddenly I can serve sacrificially beyond what I'm receiving from the other person. Because it's not about them. It's about Christ who's in me. And so what we start to find is this humility starts to get built in us, and we start to serve our spouses like Jesus served us by going to the cross. The reality is, as we talk about this, as I already said, this is the fruit. When we read 1 Corinthians, that's the fruit. It's not necessarily the goal. The goal is to make Christ your foundation, to connect to the vine. And these things begin to come out of us. And so today, I want to ask you, for all of us, but especially for the married couples in the room, man, if you've been having some issues in your marriage and your relationship, maybe a question to ask yourself is this: what is the foundation of our relationship? A prayer that I will often pray for spouses, it's my favorite prayer to pray, is, God, would you draw them individually closer and closer to you, and in that, draw them closer and closer to each other? Because when I'm running after Jesus with my whole heart, and my wife is running after Jesus with her whole heart, what ends up happening is our hearts start to draw together. We start to love each other better and serve each other better and care for each other better. Why? Because our hearts are already being loved and cared for and being taken care of by our Heavenly Father. And in that, then we can come together and have a much more beautiful relationship. And so maybe if you're someone today, maybe as we talk about this, maybe there's some things where Christ is not really the foundation of your home. Maybe there's some mindsets you have with a spouse that you think, man, you see them as your source. You see them as the one who needs to fill all of your needs. You see them as this one where you need them to do this for you. You need them to bring identity into your life. And without them, you find that you don't have those things. Maybe it's time to fix that and make Jesus that in your life. Maybe you've never started a relationship with Jesus, never really given him everything. I hope today's the day where you'll step across the line. And as we end, bow our heads, I want to invite you just to take stock of your life. For the marriages in the room, I pray you'll take stock of your marriage. And as we come before God, we just say, God, we just pray that you would continue to work in every marriage that's here today, every person that's here today, that we would go into our lives. We examine the areas where we seek our identity in anything other than you. That, God, we're so easily offended because we feel like all of these other people are holding us up rather than you. Or, God, forgive us for the moments where we don't serve sacrificially, where we don't really serve people well because we want them to do something for us first. We aren't good at actually laying down our lives for people and humbly serving like a servant. Maybe because we don't fully know your Son. In whatever area it is, God, I pray, I thank you for the conviction that you're sending out today. I thank you for the encouragement that you're sending out today through your Holy Spirit. And God, if there's anyone in this place today who's never started a relationship with you, God, I pray today is the day that they step across the line and they give you everything. That you give them a new identity as a child of you, as someone who is carrying around the Holy Spirit inside of them. And God, I thank you for the work you're already doing in them. Thank you for giving them that courage to step across the line today. God, you are good, you're awesome, and you're amazing. Would you continue to strengthen us? Would you strengthen every marriage that's here today? Any marriage that's struggling, that's being attacked by the enemy, God, I pray for your protection. I pray for your conviction. I pray for your encouragement. But God, I also pray for community, that you would continue to bring people around them, that anything that is hidden, God, would come to light, and that you would continue to help us be a people who seek your face first and foremost in every area, but especially in our marriages, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.